Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. This time, the Zimcast is being produced in Topeka, Kansas. I'm attending the Communication Officers of the State Departments of Agriculture, that's COSDA, their annual meeting, and it's held in the state of the person who is currently the president, and in that case, it's Lisa Taylor, who is here from Kansas in the Kansas Department of Agriculture. So I'm producing this program actually while I'm attending here, doing sessions on blogging and podcasting for the group that is gathered here. We've already had our first session, and the second one on podcasting will take place tomorrow. I saved a special interview, though, for this week's program from when I was at Sunbelt Ag Expo last week, and we'll get to that here in a moment. This last week saw a lot of on-location activity on AgWired with the Zimcom team. While I was at Sunbelt Ag Expo, Cindy was up in Des Moines, Iowa at the World Food Prize Norman Borlaug Symposium. And so whether it was on AgWired or even Domestic Fuel and a couple other websites that we post on to, she had lots of information, including audio that you could hear with interviews from everybody from our Secretary of Agriculture to the winners of the World Food Prize this year. And while she was there and I was in Georgia and Moultrie at the Sunbelt Ag Expo, John Davis was in St. Louis at the Farm Foundation's Transition to a Bioeconomy Conference. And so, again, on these different websites, AgWired, and in his case, on Domestic Fuel as well, lots of information from that event, including interviews with the presenters at the conference. And, of course, lots of photography and even some video clips, primarily mine from down in Georgia at the farm show. So go to AgWired if you haven't already, if you want to learn more and see what was going on there, at least that we found. While I was at Sunbelt Expo, I got to talk with Ev Greiner. Ev's a good friend of mine, somebody I've known for many years, even prior to working with him, at least for a while, back when I was down in Florida, working with Gary Cooper, who now has Southeast AgNet, of course, and sat down with Ev. It had been at least 10 years since we'd had a chance to really visit personally, and we had a conversation there in the media room. And so here's a guy who's been in the radio business for, as he put it, just about 60 years. One heck of a career, but he's still going strong and doing regular daily reports for Southeast AgNet. So Ev is one of those icons in the industry, I guess you'd say, and he's got an opinion about most things. So we talk about the radio business and, of course, agriculture and Sunbelt Ag Expo, since that's where we were. So I'm going to go ahead and let you hear what Ev's got to say. Well, my first interview here at Sunbelt Ag Expo is with Mr. Everett Greiner. And, Ev, it's just great to see you again. Actually, it's been, I think we figured, going on at least 10 years now. And let's do a little catching up here. And first of all, for people who may not know about you and your background, just tell me what you're doing now.
Well, I do quite a bit. I stay active and busy because doctors alerted me several years ago to the fact that keeping on is how you keep going. You know, keep going is how you keep going. And so I stay busy. I'm active in several things. But in broadcasting, I do just part-time stuff now. I'm still associated with Southeast AgNet on just a part-time fill-in basis. I do one little daily feature, and then I fill in wherever they need me.
Well, I remember, you know, before we actually kind of worked together, and that's when I was back working with Gary Cooper at what's now Southeast AgNet, too, and we could tell some stories about the old Georgia network, couldn't we?
We could. Well, yes, we could.
We don't need to, but.
Right. Because I guess I could say I go back all the way. Yeah.
Well, tell me, how long have you been in this business?
Really, Chuck, I claim 60 years. I had my first job in broadcasting in 1948. And I have maintained some connection with the broadcast industry all that time. I pulled a four-year stint in the Air Force during that time, but the time I spent overseas, I was quite frequently called upon to fill a capacity at what we call AFRS, Armed Forces Radio Network, back in those days. And so I've been rather active for a period of 60 years.
Well, you've certainly seen agriculture change. It's hard to even describe the changes we've seen in the business, in the industry, even just in the last 10 years. But how would you characterize what people are going to see and do when they come out to this farm show today versus, you know, what it was like when they got this thing started?
Well, so much has changed here. And the technology that I see this year is just as amazing as the technology I saw the first year. And of course, agriculture is a continuous state of change, you know, since our country began when 75% of our population farmed. Now it's less than 1% of the farmers who do the 10 times the amount of farming. And it's all due to advances in technology and the farmer's productivity. He is unmatched in our whole population.
What do you think are some of the main things that are challenges that are facing the farmer today? Just especially, we can just look here in the Southeast, like in Georgia.
Well, I think essentially it's the same challenges we've always faced, and that is, first of all, growing conditions, soil conservation, the crops that we grow and how to take care of those crops, how to protect them from insects, disease, and weather. I'm one of those that is firmly convinced that we are indeed undergoing a severe climate change in this world. And I see it in my part of the country anyway, how it's affected agriculture. And, of course, you know, weather's always been the vital input into agriculture.
Yeah, number one thing that has an impact on your bottom line, that's for sure. And, well, talking about that, when we look at some of these new energy crops, we're calling it, I know we're going to see some switchgrass on display out here, I guess, that's been grown for converting into a biofuel. What do you think about the idea of growing fuel?
I have said from the very beginning that I think farmers hold the key to a solution to our energy problem. Right now, we're in that period of time where it costs almost as much to produce the energy, you know, the inputs to create, let's say, ethanol, you don't show a great deal of advancement there. But I think we're in the early stages, and I think it's going to be a period of like 10 to 20 years before we finally come to a place where we can determine this is the best crop, this is the best way, this is the best time. But I do think that farmers will play a very vital role in our final solution, if we ever reach a solution to our energy crisis.
Well, turning back just for a second to the broadcast business, because that's the one you've been in your whole career, and I've been very closely associated with most of mine. What do you think about the business of just radio today? I know that it's still, from the ag standpoint, we don't see as many farm broadcasters, but we see still quite a few, and they seem to be doing well.
I think radio could be, and probably is, one of the best means of communicating with a farmer, because it's instantaneous. He doesn't have to wait for production, and he doesn't have to wait for or schedule times. Radio is so versatile, but the changes, I don't know, they confuse me. I should say maybe frighten me, but they confuse me more than they frighten me. And again, it's because of technology. The technology in radio broadcasting is so different to what it was when I began my career, until I can walk into a modern radio broadcast studio and be as confused as if I were on a satellite headed for the moon.
I understand exactly what you mean, because it's all I can do to try to stay ahead of it. And as much as we do, it's changing every day. Seems like there's something new that does it better, faster, smaller, and for less money than it did the year before, you know?
Well, but when you get into computers and iPods and this type thing, and radio can utilize these advances in technology, and we do use them, and we're going to use them more and more. The old station with a 18 to 24 hour format may have its limitations, but these new means of communications that we in radio use today. We're at the bottom of the scale. We've got a long way to go to reach the top.
Well, anything else that people who are involved in agricultural communications and marketing might be interested? Any thoughts, any words of wisdom for people who want to communicate with today's farmer? Let me put it to you that way. What would you say to them?
I think the American farmer is one of the most open-minded people in our country. He's a man who's looking for innovation. He's a man who's looking for technology. He's a man who's ready to utilize anything that comes his way. So I guess I could sum it up by saying communications.
Well, and that's the business we're in. So we better communicate, shouldn't we?
we better be able to.
Well, Ev, it's been great to see you and talk to you again here at Sunbelt Ag Expo, and look forward, hopefully, to having time to spend a little bit more with you here before I get out of town and head on back to Missouri. It was great to see Ev and his wife, Vivian. In fact, I got to make it over to his house there in Moultrie, Georgia, for dinner one night. He cooked us up some great... We had some fried fish and hush puppies, and I can't remember what all else. But it was a great supper, and it was good to see the two of them once again. Well, since I was at Sunbelt Ag Expo, and of course we got to see cotton being harvesting being demonstrated out in the field, I thought I'd end this week's program with some music from the PodSafe Music Network. This one is by Sun Seals. It's a blues tune, and it's called, in fact, Cotton Picking Blues. I hope you enjoy it, and thank you for listening.
To blossom, the pig be make the honey. I do all the hard work, but my boss he takes all the money. That's why I got to leave this country, boy. Lord, and go to some big town. You know I've got to leave this country, boy. Lord knows that I've got to put it down. I chop cotton all the summer and pick cotton all the fall. Then I jump up on an old tractor and cut stumps just like a doll. That's why I've got to leave country, boy. Lord, and go to some big town. You know I've got to leave this country, boy. Lord knows I've got to put it down. We'll be right back. walked up to my boss man and asked him for my pay. He said, "You ain't got nothing coming, son." And then he run for me away. That's why I got to leave this country, boy. Lord, and go to some big town. You know, I got to leave this country, boy. Lord knows that I've got to put it down.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.